guys, we're back again. You know, we have been on a recording roll. You know, like, I was looking at the episodes and we have been just pumping out episodes, giving y'all of what you need and what you want, because y'all love us. See, y'all love us, and we love you back, because y'all listen to our shenanigans. It's true. Like, Seamus, you said you like met somebody like on the street.
Yeah, well, I was at the Ever So Wonderful Anime Jungle, which, you know, all of us went to. It was great. It was awesome. And I was just walking around there, and some guy's like, Seamus! And I was like, oh no, they found me. And
what?
And he was just like, yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm a fan of the show. I listen to it. Like, I don't want to butcher your name. So if you're listening to this, you know who you are. And you're awesome and you're great. And we talked about Kamen Rider. He bought a lot of cheap, used Kamen Rider figure arts there. And it was awesome. And this was in the good part of the anime jungle, not in the sketchy part of the anime
jungle. Oh, yeah, there is a sketchy part.
That's that anime part of anime jungle, super sketchy. Toku part, great. Amazing. He said he listens to the show while he's at work, and it helps him get through work because he says it's really boring, and we help him through it.
Awesome.
So we're happy to do that. He said, yeah, I started listening with the final Dino Charge episodes. I'm like, oh, that's a good one.
Oh, you see, we have new people who listen to our show. Yeah. It's wonderful. So for the new folk, you know, over here, my name's Lisa J. Right? The one that's been talking so far, that's Seamus over there, who's the internet celebrity who gets recognized on the street. And then, and then you have Jeremy, call him Jer. And then Tristan is the chocolate Buddha, sometimes you call him, you know. It's all good.
No, you never call me that. That's the first time.
No, that's not the first time.
Hey, this is their first time for all they know. You've been doing it. She's been doing it for 200 episodes.
For years.
Just let them believe. It's an everyday.
They gotta believe.
I gotta believe.
Gotta believe.
So welcome. Thank you so much for listening to our show, and hopefully we keep you well entertained through your work. And because really, I too listen to us at my job. So like I edit at my job because, like, I do a lot of, like, spreadsheets and things, and sometimes you just need something to listen to. I'm just like, oh, I can edit the episodes here. Boop, 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 boop. So, like, people, like, students will come like, what's that? What are you doing? I'm just like, mind your business. Just mind your business. Just what you want, you know? So thank you so much again. Like, if you recognize really, like, a lot of people wouldn't really recognize me by my face. So if you recognize me by my voice, please stop me and say, hey, it's cool. Like, that'd be great, you know? And we love talking to fans, and especially if you listen to what we have to say.
Hey. I'm waiting for the day when someone goes up to Jer and just yells, Captain Subpar.
That will never happen. That's never going to be a thing.
It is.
Just you wait. You gotta believe.
I don't believe. I have no faith.
It is. It is one day. So, well, there's one person that I was trying to avoid talking to. Not gonna lie. And it's not even a person. It's a bot.
Oh.
And
it's a red bot?
It's not red bot. We'll get to red bot in a moment.
Suffering circuits.
Holy motherboards. So, Lionsgate, they had a page that was Alpha 5. You can talk to Alpha 5 and chat with Alpha 5. And of course, as these chat bots do, there are certain canned responses that you're going to get no matter what you put in there. But there were certain responses that were interesting.
Well, the biggest one, obviously, is when it referenced Fuller House. So, therefore, tie-in confirmed, Fuller House is in the Power Rangers continuity. I can't believe Alpha said, whatever happened to predictability.
Are you serious?
Yes! Capable, even TV.
It's like, because he has a couple things set up to just respond to. Like, if you just ask, like, a dumb question that he's not going to have an answer to, he has, like, 10 or so, like, canned responses. He's like, I didn't get that response. Whatever happened to predictability? I'm like, oh, my God.
So he actually is just a magic 8-ball?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And also, if you, like, ask, if you try, like, don't try to ask Alpha, like, show questions. Like, I actually asked him, it's like, who created you, Alpha? Was it King Lexion on Edenoi? And he's like, whatever happened to predictability? I'm like, no. Basically, it's basically just a long thing to get to the one piece of reveal. And, like, they also give you, like, a high-resolution image of, like, a power coin. But who cares?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who cares? So the one thing that popped up, right? And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, pardon me, but when you, you know, you're plugging away and it's like da-da-da-da-da, and it's just like, oh, and for, I think at first it shows, does it first show the Rita footage that she's going crazy or something?
The GIF, yeah.
So it shows the Rita footage, like, oh, she's going crazy, oh my goodness. And then she's like, oh, is Rita looking for the Zeo crystal?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tristan is finding out about this for the first time right,
right now.
What?
Okay. So, let me just. There was another fan of ours that was waiting to see how long into the podcast that we do, where we get angry and stay angry for the rest of the show. You can take a drink right now. So.
I'm not bad about it.
No, no.
I'm confused.
Hold on. Though,
for some
right?
Blackbeard rants.
Let me go. Just say, right, that I think I am the poster child for all things Zeo. Like, I root the toot Zeo to from today until forever. Okay? I am the one that wants the Zeo movie. I am the one that wants the Zeo reunion with everybody because they're all still alive. I want, like, that stuff is like me and Zeo. Like,
you ain't special.
Okay. Zeo stamp. Me. Stamp of approval, Zeo, that is me. Okay.
Zeo icy poster. What's up?
So
yeah, I have my Zeo icy poster. You got one of those? Boom.
So when I found that out, and there's half of me at the time, half of me said, oh, well, that really sounds pretty cool that they're trying to tie in different seasons from the show into this movie and reference certain things. That sounds pretty dope. Okay, that's going to be in a real movie. Great. The other half of me is like, you mother effers. You motherers! You touch Zeo! I will kill you! I will kill you! Because we haven't even started in MMPR. Like, it's not even a thing yet. I mean, yes, it's shot and everything, whatever, but, like, it's not even a thing. And then you want to go throw on these references? Like, bruh, why would she be looking for the Zeo crystal now when she's still got the Mighty Morphins and the ninja powers and the things and the there's a protocol.
I can understand skipping ninja, like, because it's part of the first movie. Like, just skip all of that. There's no point. Like, really, if in a perfect world, if they're actually going to start using Zeo stuff, they would do a first movie, focus on the Green Ranger in the second movie, and then let's just go to Zeo. Let's get to Zeo. We don't need our ninjas and our thunders and our blah 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 when we're all still in the same suits or any of that nonsense. Just move on.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, we can roll back the tape. I remember last year actually suggesting that they do some Zeo crystal stuff where somebody is looking for a Zeo crystal and then like three movies down the road it's all about Zeo. Like, I distinctly remember suggesting this. So what I'm wondering is, where is my check? Where is my check, Lionsgate? Thank you.
Oh, so, and so that's what a half of me is just like, if it's just like a little, small, tiny, little reference, tiny. Okay, I'm not going to be like all up in arms or whatever. Like, you know, if it's like a little, Easter egg, like a little, like, oh, by the way, that's it. That's all. Boom, done. Right? But do not like try to jam Zio in my MMPR. Like, we haven't gotten the MMPR. Like, just slow your roll, hon. Slow that roll, okay? And we haven't even seen those Lord Zed. Yeah, I'd be like, there is plenty of stuff from the MMPR that you can pilfer first, you know, before like jumping into Zio. Because, just be honest, I'm just saying, unless they're just gonna change up the villains altogether and like scrap Mondo in them, you know, and have Zio and Zed, like, if they're gonna mix that all together, that might be something to explore. But, you know, don't jump over some other villains because Mondo and them ain't that great.
Well, theoretically, if they're skipping Thunder Ninja, and then they bring Zed in, they would need a reason to get the stronger powers, and right. That would be Zed. So it would make perfect sense.
Right. I mean, you know, but then you have the White Ranger. Like, there's
no things. No White Ranger. No, get rid of that.
No, the White Ranger, right?
White Ranger
is way too iconic for them to skip it.
For real.
No.
Yeah.
Green Ranger's iconic. White Ranger's not nearly as iconic as the White Ranger.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
Okay, your personal view is not
Green Ranger's the one that gets talked. People still, today, people that haven't watched the show, they talk about the Green Ranger was amazing. That's the first one on their lips. It is. It's Green Ranger.
And then when they talk about the character, they'd be like, yo, he was the green, then the white, then the red, then the... Like, they start naming.
They don't know red.
They chose! They said it! It's been a thing!
Green and white are... As soon as you're done introducing green, the next question on quote-unquote fans' minds is, where's white? Next one is white, right? Like, it would be an automatic expectation. So, of course, you're going to put a White Ranger.
Also, yeah. Don't...
That being said, it doesn't necessarily have to be Tommy, you know, all Tommy all the time. Or you know, it could be both green and white at the same time, rather than, you know, I'm going to upgrade, and then Green Ranger's gone. They could do all kinds of things.
And also, don't underestimate the fact that a lot of people remember the original movie very fondly, and that's, like, pretty much their main memory of Power Rangers, because that was on VHS, and that's a thing people remember. And people remember that image of White Ranger in that movie.
Ugh.
Hey, I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying it's great, but it's true.
Ugh.
Now, it is possible that we're jumping to conclusions, right? Like, this whole pursuing the Zio crystal thing.
It could literally just be a throwaway line. Yeah, it could absolutely just be a throwaway line.
It could literally be, like, the same person who's running the Angel Grove website just doesn't know what they're talking about and just put that in there because they thought it would be cute and it has nothing to do with this movie. Because it would just seem... Wouldn't it seem a little weird in this first movie for Rita at some point to be like, I'm looking for the Zio Crystal? Like, maybe that's her thing she says at the end credits stinger or something, but I don't know. It just seems a little
bitch. Like, at the very end, they're like, oh, this is why she was really on Earth. Like, this is why she actually came here.
And that would be an okay stinger, I think, because then you got to wonder, fans like us will go, oh, yeah, Zio. And then other people will be like, wait, what? Although also then, to be fair, with that, the end of, what was it, Iron Man Iron Man 2, they're like, there's a Thor's hammer. And before this whole thing, people were like, who the F is Thor? Mm-hmm. So nerd news sites will figure it out for them. So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of joked before, but like, I did actually compare it to like, the Infinity Stones from the Avengers movies, which is like a thing from comics that you don't know unless you've read or heard or whatever. And the same thing would be true of the Zio Crystal. So
there's a way that they can do this right. And so that I'm going to put the half of me that is enraged away from right now. Okay?
So untake that away. Drink.
All right. So I hope you took a sip. I hope you didn't take a whole gulp, right? Because I'm going to put that away. Right?
I have a few. It's fine. Okay. You may need them for what's coming, you know.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty more.
Yeah, do not put the bottle away. Keep
it. Do not. Just keep it right next to whatever you're working on, please. Except for if you're at work, then that's.
Yeah, do not operate heavy machinery. Yeah,
not a good luck. So that was the latest movie thing that, like, everybody was talking about, like, oh my gosh, Zio. I mean, you know me. Like, I'm all for, like, good Zio. give me good Zio. Like, I mean, if you're going to, if you're going to do like a reboot or whatever, like, do it right. Because MMPR, it's, I don't want to say it's hard. It's hard for them to get wrong. I'm not saying that, but like, it's a little easier to improve upon it.
Mm-hmm.
Zio.
Flawless.
Oh hell. Y'all better come correct. Okay?
I have
come correct.
Lots of questions though of like, if they were to do an actual movie that was about mostly Power Rangers Zio, would you want it to just be the Mighty Morphin Rangers just upgrading their powers? Like saying goodbye to their dino whatever or whatever they have at the time, and then just upgrading to Zio? Like,
or a whole new cast.
Right, or somewhat new or something, and like have the Zio Rangers and the Mighty Morphin Rangers.
It's tough to say until I think we could make a better theory about that after we see this first movie and see how they handle Rangers, because there's that whole thing in the trailer about, oh, they're legions of Power Rangers, so maybe, you know, Zio Rangers already exist in this universe. You don't know.
On Triforia.
Here's the thing. They can redesign the Zio suits, whatever, but Gold Ranger, keep him exactly as he is. Don't change a thing.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. All right. Look, we haven't even seen MMPR. We haven't even seen the first one. So let's just.
But we'll put a pin in this.
Yes. Because this, I mean, we could talk about this all day.
No business
all
next day. No business the movie.
Let's not.
Sarah Brown will be there, and we will transition to VR Troopers the movie. Yes.
Hell yes. Let's do it.
Oh, the spinoffs.
No, guys, you don't understand. They'll do the VR Troopers spinoff movie, and then Ryan Steele will actually become the Gold Ranger in the movies. What?
Oh, snap.
Cinematic universe.
I thought you would say Brad Hawkins is now the father that's been gone for 10 years. And then
that's very CW. That's very
yes.
So what you're saying is the triplets are still waiting by the phone for it to ring.
Yes.
And it's not happening.
No. This is it. The Power Rangers movie franchise continues on the big screen, but our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just the VR Troopers hour-long drama series on ABC.
Yes. They're doing the hard news stories.
The hard news stories.
It's at the paper.
Oh, boy.
Underground Staley.
Oh, my gosh. And then they have to always combat other people to say, you're fake news.
Oh. All the alternative facts.
Guys, this is the perfect story for our time. Caitlin can be the new main character because she's the reporter. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
Instead of new powers, it's alternative powers.
Alternative powers! Oh no!
It's alternative powers. Here it comes.
Oh no. I started hating this idea. Now I kind of like it. Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
Troopers of VR. Come on.
Troopers of VR. Troopers of VR. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So, as much as I would love to continue this conversation, we have to talk about the second half of the premiere.
It's not really. Ninja Steel.
It's set to be continued. It is.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is. Get out of here.
Yeah, it is.
Once you say to be continued, that means...
What if they all say to be continued after this?
Get out of here.
Yeah, there are shows that do exactly
Yeah, what if they do it like the beginning of In Space, where everything was a cliffhanger to the next episode?
I mean, but it's not... But did all of them say to be continued?
I don't know.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Nah, like, that's a difference. That, I mean, shows always like to do cliffhanger. Like, that's the thing. But, like, if you want to say to be continued, you are just a part one who don't want to call yourself a part one. That's what it is. So...
I feel like it's a Nick thing, right? Where did they tell them not to do multi-parters?
I was
like,
just title wise.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what it was for, like, rerunning. Maybe they don't like it to say part one or part two on the screen. Some crap
maybe.
Like that.
Or they just want it to be standalone-y.
Yeah. So they can run it in any order they want, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's my guess.
Or someone does. I don't know.
Well, the reason why we are even having this conversation, because it does say to be continued from the first episode. And then the second episode just starts like, boop, 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 boop. We are starting like a new episode.
And it's a much better episode than the first one.
Well, it's a better one.
Yeah. there was not much to go off for that first one. So this one being just solid is, you know.
And it starts out with, what their name is? Haley and Calvin.
Well, we first start out with a recap.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Because the same thing needs to continually be recapped. We need to keep.
Yes.
Really.
That's what's so great. Is that we see them explain things in the recap, and then about 10 minutes in, they re-explain the stuff in the recap. It's great.
Yes.
And it's not like this is the generic one that's going to be on every episode, because this one seems like it was specific to this episode.
Are you sure?
Because they had that whole thing about, oh, 3 power stars are found, but there's still 3 more out there. If they keep having that
But they'll just partially edit it.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll alter it just a little bit, but that's our deep in the forest. Like that's what that is.
Scrolls, yeah.
There is not enough it's a bomb. Not enough it's a bomb.
It's a bomb. So the recap, we see the dumb star in the stop. I can't. But let's start with the good thing. Okay? I want to talk about the good thing. Okay. We see Haley. And you see, notice how I said Calvin, right?
Oh. He has a name?
He has a name. Oh. Notice I said Calvin, right? Because we first see them and they're having their car trouble. I guess they don't go to school.
No, nobody. Because none of these kids have actually attended school. Besides the two bullies, nobody has gone to school yet.
The two bullies are the most responsible who go to school.
The troublemakers, yeah.
Yes.
Of course. And all of our rangers don't. That's cool. Stay in school, kids. So they are, their car is broken down again, even though they were at school at first when we saw them fixing it.
Yes.
Then they drive away from the school for it to break down?
And fix it again. Yes.
Fix it again.
Yes. And all the while, they have a dog with them, which is funny. They're going to take the dog to school. Once they eventually get there.
Yeah. To school. This is like the most chill school ever. Like,
this is Mary Had a Little Lamb.
like, orientation is literally, here's a piece of paper. Go do whatever you want for the rest of the day. Cool. Yeah. All right.
It's one of those like special schools that doesn't have like a set curriculum. You just kind of do whatever you want.
Special schools? Like MMPR special school? Or which type of special are we talking about here?
Question marks.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited for next week when Brody cheats on a test and it's going to be a test about question marks. It's going to be great. Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
See, that's the real reference. Come on, Chip. Come on, give us the real reference.
Got it.
I wouldn't have been surprised if the female principal's name was Principal Kaplan. Just call her Kaplan. Just do it. Just, why not? Come on. Well,
you could now.
We have we had Ernie, so we can do anything we want. We had double Ernie. So.
Especially now, since we seem to be in a new continuity where you can just do whatever.
Oh, that's right.
But she already has a name. It's Principal Hastings. So,
which I hope she comes back. I'm all for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But she doesn't show up yet in the first scene. I want to get to the first scene. Okay. So I want to say good things.
Okay. Say the good things.
Before, I threw the shade, but now I get the good things. So they're fixing your car, and then the fool keeps calling the car Nitro. I'm like, all right.
Honestly, the first time he said it, I thought he said Nigel. I would have loved it if he would have named his car Nigel. Come on.
Yes.
Smashing.
And then Haley is just like, you know that I'm your girlfriend, right? I was like, hold up. Wait a minute.
We're already broken down.
Oh.
We are already. First of all, we already started out with a relationship. Second of all, yes. We already got down with the swirl. Third of all,
yes.
like their interactions, it actually looks like a real thing, like
yeah.
Oh, like a normal thing, you know. It didn't look stilted and like, but I am your girlfriend, and you know, and Calvin, you see how I'm saying his name, Calvin. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't too bad. I mean, he has his moments, but he wasn't too bad when he looking at the, you know, looking at that chocolate over there. You know, you can't go too bad on that.
He's got his jungle fever going.
That was a couple seasons ago, Tris. Oh, Jungle Fury, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So,
Power Rangers, Jungle Fever.
So there's been a couple of folks who have just been like, oh my gosh, could you guys like not keep calling, because the actor's name is Nico Greatham, right? Mm-hmm. Like, can you guys not keep calling Nico Greatham? Could have been a black guy, because you know, I understand, I like you guys, but and here's the thing, right? We have always said from the get jump that like we were heartbroken that what's his name?
Chance Simpson.
You know, he was replaced with another person that was not a person of color. If it wasn't going to be a black guy, I mean, at least another person of color. Like, I mean, you know, like, come on.
He was one of my people, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
So,
maybe a distant relative.
Possibly. Very distant.
Possibly.
You guys look so much alike.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Of course.
I'm mistaken all the time.
So, yeah, we were disappointed. That wasn't a knock on the actor. It wasn't a knock on, we don't like that guy. I mean, yes, we joke because we're a show and we joke. And that's, like, we have to make the jokes.
Like,
that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But, like, we not, you know, like, we don't know Nico. We don't know whatever. Like, he did So You Think You Dance. And, you know, he has the 2 feet that do the dancing things. And, and fine. But, I mean.
You want to run that back again?
You heard me. The 2 feet that do the dancing things.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I said.
Yep, and Lisa's got the 2 lips that do the talking things.
That's right.
Yep.
So, and that's enough to talk about my lips. Hey, okay. So we are.
Wow.
This is a kind of night.
It's a bit of a minefield, I think.
So, well, what I'm saying is that, like, I mean, it's a joke. You know, and we did say, like, we ain't calling by his character's name. And I believe I said this. I was like, I ain't gonna be calling by his character's name until I can see, like, yo, this is a dude that's, like, all right. Like, or the character itself is
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not finna try to be all like, like, what up? Like, because, like, you got a lot. He had a lot to work up because, like, you got replaced. He replaced somebody, you know, whatever. And, you know, he is.
Why.
Right.
But, yeah. And we still don't know why, and that which is fair, because we probably won't know. But, like, you know, I'm just like, I'm allowed to feel disappointed. So get over it.
To say, it's not a disappointment because of Nico himself.
Right.
Like, it's just, you know.
The circumstance.
Yeah, it's the decision of the show itself to do it, not because, you know, Nico's just like a guy, he took the job, whatever, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he may just have been the next person in line who, you know, impressed casting.
Yeah, like, we're not going to be picketing and, like, outside his house or whatever. Like, it's not that deep.
Nico's a great guy. I'm sure he's a great guy.
But the reason why I'm calling him Calvin is because, like, you know, especially now they're a couple and everything, it's nice to see. Like, I don't think if it were Chance, right, it'd be like, oh, yeah, all right, the two black people getting together. Like, I'm like, okay, like, whatevs. You know, and not just the two black people, the two mixed black people get. I'm like, all right, guys, really? Right. Like, really? But I think it's kind of cute.
Technically
right?
Speaking, you could say that they're both, at least the actors are both.
Right, exactly. But, like, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, you got a little interracial going on, I'm saying, you know, you got a little swirl on.
And right from the start, you know? Too. Not this, like, Tyler Shelby, oh, we'll maybe get to it in episode 34 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is fine.
To be fair... Yeah, like, at least they had a closure and they, like, did something with it and, like, something happened. Yeah. Like, we don't never get that, though.
One of the little more satisfying parts of
Dino Charge. Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't mind that too much. But like from the jump, we got relationship, we got interracials, and two people that actually look like they could be a couple. And I'm just like, okay, fine. I'll call you Calvin. All right. You get a little props. I'm just saying. You know, so like again, I think, you know, as much as I'm glad that people are cognizant of like, hey, let's give people a fair shot, and hey, let's I'm glad. However, let's not go to the other extreme where we're like we're joking. Right. You know, like this is a show for entertainment, and we will clearly say like, no, I'm dead serious. This Nico guy is a piece of crap. Like, I mean, we'll say it. But that's never come out of our mouths, and we're just joking. And like, and I ended up actually liking. I mean, his character in particular didn't do so much, but like, it didn't offend me. And I thought him with his little relationship with his car, it was just kind of hilarious. He was like, oh no.
I love my baby. My car so much that I always have my girlfriend drive it.
See, I think my favorite thing here is that, yeah, there isn't a lot of character for either of these two, but there's enough of a base now that it's like, okay, we have enough to go on that now in their focus episodes we can do things. And my hope is, as much as I want them to have like couple stuff, I do want to make sure that both of them, especially Haley, get things to do that don't have to do with them being a couple too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which we never had to talk about before, because we don't have couples that start out.
Yeah, you have to ride that line between making her defined by her relationship and barely even acting like there is a relationship.
Because yeah, right. If we go like for, you know, 30 more episodes and they just act like we're friends, like come on, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah,
right.
That's worst case scenario, right mm-hmm. there.
Like I don't want them to be bros. Yeah. Don't be yeah. bros. Okay.
I do. So. Actually, I didn't even really register that she does drive it the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
She's only. I'm curious about if that was like a conscious choice and like she's in the driver's seat, like she's, you know.
I hope that, driving. Okay. I hope that that's a subtle indicator of how their relationship works.
Oh.
It'd be great.
Yes. Oh, he's a doormat.
I mean, she was, like, giving him some smack. It was just like, you know I'm your girlfriend, right? Okay?
All yeah. Right. Over yeah. here. Yeah. Over here. Yeah. You know? So, like, I like that part of the scene. Like, that was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's so adorable. And, you know, I don't know how I feel if it was just like, oh, two black people getting together. Of course, that's going to be a thing. You know? Like, I mean, which is great. I'm all for black love. It's great. But it's nice to see on TV, like, the interracials. Like, oh, yay, look, we are together and this is great. So, 2 points. 2 points for you. Then things fall out of the sky. And
rather casually, too. Like, it's not mm-hmm. like...
Cash. Yeah. But, okay, but here's the thing, though. So, this is falling out of the sky. Mm-hmm. While this is falling out of the sky, the others would have been looking at the stuff falling from the sky, right?
Yeah.
So, technically, they didn't drive off. Did they drive off yet? Probably. Okay, they drive off. But then, if that's falling from the sky, then all that stuff that the other two were dealing with Brody wouldn't have happened yeah, yet. The
timeline is really
like weird. How much time?
The yeah, time one has to assume that maybe, like, unless there was, because there was the bit where, you know, Sarah walks into the school and has the whole thing with Victor and Monty, and then they, you know, fly away and da da da. So there is a bit of time skip, but you have to assume then that they immediately after Sarah walked into the school, these two drove away for no reason.
Which I can which okay, fine, I'll take it. But then, like, then the whole thing with the dragon and the hoverboard and the whatever, like, all that stuff happened, falling things out of the sky, but then they go off and into the woods and look for the stuff and become rangers and, like, a whole bunch of things happen. And yet, that's the same time that they, the other two, would have been in the car with Mick... and talking to him And like, yeah, I don't know. It
depends
I don't know.
How long they were fixing the car. Like,
couldn't that they could have been fixing it for a while.
Yeah, couldn't that have made up the time? I mean, that's how you do it, like, during team-ups. You just kill time by fixing the car. So.
At what time? At the school or when they were
they
on the road?
Twice. So, I don't know.
So,
anytime.
Maybe right.
Yeah.
I feel like if this was more of a traditional two-parter rather than just two episodes with a to-be-continued at the end, and they're sort of connected because they're not all Rangers yet, I feel like the ordering of these scenes would be rearranged a little. Like, it would not quite line up the way it does.
Yeah, because I feel like they had to be like, we have to tell this side of the story yeah. first, and now we got to tell this other side of the story. But, like, they go together, but in the order in which it's shown, it seems like the time is a little off, you know? But anyway, it was a little thing. But Mick is all... Okay, no, not before Mick. So the debris falls, and they're touching it like it's been there for,
well, there
like,
was goo on it. She found goo.
10 billion years. I mean, like, things are smoking, yes. And you're touching it as if, like...
Yes, is this... like infectious, so like, is this gonna,
it's gonna kill
make
us all.
Grow a third eye,
you know? Like, since radiation,
like Calvin tries to be like, oh, look, it's goo, and she's like get away from me.
Yes, what are you doing? What the hell?
Like, aren't you holding the goo yourself, bruh? Like, why are you scared of his goo?
Whoa, hey,
hey.
Well, there was that scene where he's holding the pipe and he's got it. Like, they made sure to show that he's got, like, stickiness on his hand, so.
Yeah.
The jinx.
I saw that for a second.
His sticky pipe is much firmer than hers.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hers was very flaccid.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so.
So, he picks up a big ball. And.
And kicks it, because that's what you do with a rock.
Yes.
And then Mick is just like, hey, yo, what's up?
Okay, so Kelson Henderson is already my MVP for this episode.
Yeah.
Kelson is so good. And I love his reactions here where he's like, come on, you guys know Brody, right?
Yes. Brody. All Earthlings look alike and know each other, so it's fine.
And, yeah. Jesus. He's from here, right here on Earth.
Yeah,
you know him.
Brody.
You know him. What?
You saw him at the meeting last week. Brody.
That to me is such a great reaction because it's a very alien sort of like, yeah, you guys know each other, right? Like, and he's got this, you guys, it's like you guys are a little behind the times. I'm like, yes, smack talk, I love it. But he's actually...
yeah, because he's talking about like the galaxies, like, oh yeah, I'm from the Warrior Dome, like, or Galaxy Dome. What does he say? Warrior Dome.
Yeah, sure, no, Warrior Dome. I think Warrior Dome.
Warrior Dome. Yeah, I'm from there. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, like, they shoot the show, the TV show, Galaxy Warriors,
knows.
Right? You guys know, you've
yeah,
scared me.
Yeah, it's operated on NBC.
It's like, hello, it's like the biggest TV show in the galaxies, of the galaxies. Like, what
they
galaxy are you from?
Wipeout.
Like,
it's great.
The Milky Way. He's like, oh.
You're one of those.
Yeah, you're behind. Like, the whole thing, like, that was nice. It was good. It was good. You know, and the whole Brody thing, like, you guys know him! Just like how, like, we always think, like, everybody in California knows each other, like,
yes,
you know them.
And, like, surfs, and, like, has sushi, and, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, like, you guys all
never,
know each other. You're
never
California.
Rains, even though it's been, like, 2 weeks now, just endless raining, but whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, again, you all know each other, so, like, what's the problem? So anytime we bring up anybody from California,
right.
You know.
Oh, yeah,
them.
Definitely.
Just like all those times I've told Tristan that every place in California is like 5 minutes away from every other place in California.
Right.
If it's on the map in that state, you know where it is and you've been there, correct?
Right. I mean, it's a close-knit small community. Yeah,
yes.
So.
Exactly. So what's the problem? So that part was great. And then... And then what happens right after? Oh, right. He's trying to describe, like, you know, the big monsters that he's running away from, whatever. And then, like, oh, wait, there's some behind you. And then, like, Mick ain't even playing with y'all. I legit thought when he got into the car, he was going to drive away. I'm just like.
Which would have been hilarious. Not going to lie.
Like,
see you never.
Bye. I need to find my friend Brody. Y'all don't know him. Let's go. That's hilarious. But yeah, Yeah, I mean, you know, they fight the foot soldier thingies and bots. And they try to get, you know, be things. It's your regular old, like, hey, we're unmorphed and we're gonna use a flat looking or I don't know. Is part of it, that I could understand, right? Because they're foot soldiers. But like later on, when they fight a monster, like a legit monster, I'm just like, really though, come on, you guys.
Should be dead like 500 times.
Yeah, for real. Like, come on, you guys.
Really, honestly, so, even fighting the foot soldiers and beating them back so seemingly easily, I don't know. I guess I want them to be a little more threatening.
Well, that's the thing is, for in the first episode, again, they kicked over Brody kicked a barrel and it took him out. And this time they hit him with their staff and it immediately takes them out. Like, they're doing all of this butt kicking with unmorphed on these foot soldiers with such little effort in the first two episodes. Like, what's the point of ever fighting the foot soldiers for the rest of the series?
Are pipes the new shovel in this season? Because last season they were using shovels to take out people like every 5 minutes in the first five episodes. Here we got pipes.
Gilly pipes.
The problem with the escalation of conflict is, again, it's like that thing that I harped on in the first episode, is that Brody's able to steal that guy's sword, no problem, unmorphed, not a big deal. So you're showing that these villains are really not that difficult to defeat. There's no really threat or menace if the Rangers can fight them off as just people.
Like you're saying with Ripcon, like, the fact that he's already just standing around being like, oh, you're dumb foot soldiers, and he's getting outsmarted by Brody. Like, he's supposed to be Goldar, and you've already painted him as, like, Squat and Babu. Like, day one. Mm.
It was like a weird thing, because, like, they drove away, and then Ripcon seemingly teleports right there, and is like, you let them get away while they're still, like, right there.
Why didn't you just teleport, like, right in front of them?
Right.
Yeah. Why?
Shoot them or something. Like, slash whatever. Like,
because that's what I was expecting. I was expecting, well, he's not that bright. I mean, really. But I mean, I was expecting that, but like, I guess the foot soldiers thing didn't bother me as such, because we've seen that before. We've seen, like, you know, the teens outsmart the foot soldiers, like, the very first time that they see them, even though you're not really supposed to. But I mean, it's not an uncommon thing. So that didn't bother me, especially when they picked up the foot soldiers' own spears and started to be like, yo, bruh, now we got spears, son. You know, so I'm just like, oh, okay, that's cool. But it was when they were fighting the monster with the bat and the tennis racket, where I'm just like, stop right now. Like, this is not believable. This is not believable right now. So, yeah, you know, pardon me. That's the thing. That was the thing that happened. But again, I'm watching the first few minutes, and overall, I'm just like, all right, you know what? I don't hate this. This is kind of like a thing that I'm watching, and so far, three out of the three characters that I've watched, pretty darn good. Okay, all right, great. And then we get to the monster part where they were like, ah, oh, they got away, or something. Was that the next one?
Yeah, they're on the ship.
You know, and I okay, one of my favorite lines of the episode with Galvanax, where it's like, oh, teenagers, they're all over the planet. They're like cockroaches. I'm like, okay. That's funny. All right, Galvanax. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Galvanax.
Yeah. I mean, and even when Galvanax goes to this main stage and he's like pushing the dude out the way, just like, all right. And then, you know, you expect the speech, right? You know, it's the whole spiel of like, whatever monster can take down the Rangers, get the, is it the Power Stars that they call them? Power Stars? Yeah. And so, like, you get the Power Stars. Mm-hmm. And you can be a champion, you know, like, you expecting that speech, and it's great. So, like, even that, I'm just like, okay, you know, that's fine.
I'd still like some more definition of what be a champion means. Because it's very nebulous, and it's just like, are you going to get more power? Are you going to get authority? Like, what does it mean besides just a random title? Like, what is the tangible thing you get?
I mean, aren't they all just fighting on some rando reality television show? Like, so it's very vapid in itself. Like, they're fighting on a TV show. So, like, to them, it's just a big old Survivor.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, what do they get? Like, there has to be some kind of, like, or is it just fame? Like, do you get to boss people around? Galvanax obviously bosses people around. But, mm-hmm. like, is that what you get? Like, you just get to be a higher up person that's, like, respected?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Do you get to be RipCon? Because that's not very cool.
Yeah, that's not...
Because
I really
it.
Hope that it's not every episode. It's just like, who wants to challenge the Rangers this week? It's like, okay, that'll be fine for like a couple episodes, but you need to give us more.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah,
but that's gonna happen.
Like,
sorry,
do you get to keep the ninja a ninja star if you beat the Rangers? You know, anything?
Well,
because that was really the thing is that they brought out the Nexus whatever
Prism.
Who's he? What is
his
it?
Names?
Yeah, they're all just.
I can't.
Point originally was that. You fought to get a chance to try to put your hand in the star.
Right.
Right, and to get a star. Right, to get the hand in the star. No, you put your hand in the prism to get a star.
Yes. See, yeah, oh my god, yeah.
The Ninja Nexus Prism, I believe, is what it is called.
Right, and that was the aim of the game. And now they don't have it. And now other people have it. And so they're just like, wait a minute, hold on. You beat the Rangers. I'm assuming then, like... You get to have the star. You know what I'm saying? You get to have all the stars. In fact, maybe if you got all the stars, could they come back together to be the... What was the big old thing called? The Nexus Prism Star Prism Prism
yeah.
Me?
Yeah,
Prisms?
Exactly.
Yeah. The Ninja Superstar.
Ninja
the
super, Star Super... super
it's the
super?
Dragon Star. You win it on WMAC Masters. It's great. Here
the
comes the machine.
Dragon, yeah.
Yes, here comes Akeem Austin. He's ready to go. Oh, wait, he got replaced by a white guy. Sorry.
Oh.
So yeah, I again, well, one, these names are really confusing. But I think, to me, I am not completely like, ugh, how can they explain that? I'm just like, I'm a wait in the cut. I will wait, you know, and be like, oh, okay, if there's something more, especially when we get to the surprise ending.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, late in the cut. All right. Then, what happened?
Wasn't it Brody?
Yeah, we got
Brodes.
Yeah, we go
at
back
home?
To home. We go back to Riley's home.
And as you
no.
noted, Jer,
no.
somebody's getting mail.
Yes. Like, okay. First of all, Taper actually said on Twitter, "Yes, that's my home from Dino Charge." Yes.
Really?
That's funny. He actually said it. Yes. And yeah, that's the thing I noticed is you see the mailbox with the Romero on it and like the flag's up. So either someone was there recently and they had some mail to send, or the postal service doesn't go out to that place in quote unquote California. You know, the place with all the giant rolling green hills behind it in California.
There may be a few of those.
There may be, huh? Really?
It's
yeah.
Scary.
You act like all of California is like some barren wasteland.
Yeah, but come on. These are like these gorgeous rolling green hills right behind the house, just like we saw them right next to where Kelvin and Haley were chilling in the road. They're just everywhere in this version of California.
Okay, you know what? I will at least give them credit because that rolling green hill with the Kelvin and Haley scene was at least a location we hadn't seen either that much or ever before. Because in this show, they reuse locations a lot.
Yeah.
As we, again, in this scene, are seeing.
Mm-hmm. But I want to go to this version of California. It's nice. Like, this is not the version we went to last summer.
Which is such a shame, because it's been it was raining here for like 2 weeks straight, and now it actually is kind of green.
Oh, you mean it's not some big brown dust ball anymore?
Yes, surprisingly.
Oh, dang.
Well, then what
yeah,
do you?
Go back to the Angel Grove Park. It might be fun this time.
Well, let's not go too far. Come on now. Let's.
No. That park needed a lot more than water.
Yeah.
Yes.
It needed to be good, for one thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know what? Three out of however many it was wasn't so bad. 3 out of 4, whatever it was.
We did it okay. But yeah, so they're at the Romero house. And
Brody has a fit.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, my God. Gosh,
I will give them at least half a point for him actually being sad this episode, unlike last time. But the problem.
But like.
But his acting.
Okay, go ahead.
His acting was. Okay.
It's not. Yeah. See, hold up. I don't think it. It's not so much the acting for me. It's just the lines and the way it's set up. I don't want this to be his reaction. I want him to have a reaction, obviously. But I just don't want him to go and like sit down and like throw his hands up. Like, what? Like, I don't.
So here's the thing. This is what it reminded me of. It reminded me as if his mentality is still that 5-year-old kid or whatever, mm-hmm. or like 8 or 6-year-old kid back in the day, because that's what a child would do. He would go in, he will like stomp out, and he would just like, I can't find my brother. I can't find everything, and then like sit down and pout.
Like,
that's what he would do.
I don't know. My thing is, and maybe there's the whole concept of like holding out hope, but I just find it really weird, the idea that like he's been on this ship for 10 years and he's still all happy-go-lucky about, I'm gonna find my brother. Even though realistically, you're gone for 10 years and the chances of your brother being in that house are like not great, considering his dad disappeared and then his brother gets kidnapped, and like, is he just gonna sit there for 10 years and when he finds,
right? Because and the monsters know that they're there, so like that's where they live. If, like, why would he stay
his
there?
Reaction was a little more like they go there and they're like, hey, you know, your brother's probably not here. He's like, I know, and he looks around, doesn't see him, and he's like, yeah, I know. But there's still a little sadness that I could have totally gotten. And if they're trying to go for the he's still a kid thing, okay, but then you have to sell that from the first moment, and that was in nowhere in the first episode.
Yeah, they turn on a dime is the thing for me. Is like, he just has all this hope, like, I'm gonna finally see my brother again. And then he finally gets there, he's like, oh no, he's not here. Like, it was so abrupt.
And Sarah's like, shut the F up.
Yeah, like,
it just loosely translated.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't feel real at all to me.
Yeah, see, and I don't like, for me to accept, because I thought of that as well, like the idea that like, oh, maybe he's still childlike because, you know, he was captured as a child. But like, to me, his experiences with those people would have altered that. It would have made him a little possibly more fatalistic, more less idealistic. Or if he was super idealistic, then somebody else would notice that and be like, oh, that's weird. You're unusually chipper and happy. But nobody says that. Nobody, you know, there's no statement being made about the character. It's just whatever is needed.
Well, actually, Mick did say that in the first episode, because what's his nuts? Brody was just like, yo, we gotta get out of here, man. We gotta get out of here now. And he's like, bro, do you see us? We are on a spaceship. Okay? Spaceship, where we gonna go?
I think that's a generous reading.
I think that it is a generous reading, and I am being generous, because Brody so far is the weakest character out of the bunch, and so I am trying my best to find the silver lining. That the way they're going about this is that they're treating him like, yes, you are older, you are a teenager, but your mentality is still of a child.
Well, there was that weird comment later in the episode where he's like, I can't wait to go to high school. I'm like, okay, one, you never went to middle school, it looks like.
Yeah.
But I have no hope. What the show is that he gets into high school and he can't pass a single class. Because he doesn't know, like, he missed so many years of school. Like, you can't just, like, leave when you're in, I'm just going to arbitrarily say he was in fourth grade. You can't just leave when you're in fourth grade, come back in, like, arbitrarily 10th grade, and just act like everything's fine. Like, I could see him being weirdly good with stuff in, like, shop class, because, you know, he was good at, he was on the ship and he was a slave and whatever, and he was able to build things or whatever. That's fine. That's what he was, and you know it. And
yes, clearly. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can walk into that school and become a shop teacher. So
Well, we'll get to that in a second. I think it would. I think that the show, and again, who knows? I think the show would be a super downer Red Ranger, something akin sort of to Andros, where Preston could have been like, yeah, like, let's go. Maybe your brother's there. And Brody's like, no, he's not going to be there. It's been 10 years. He's probably dead. I mean, he wouldn't say that, but.
Nobody wants to go that route either.
He's like, he's like, you know, Brody could be a very hardened character that over the course of the season could, you know, deal with all the stuff that's happened to him for the past 10 years. But it looks like we're more going for, I can't wait to go to high school. Yeah.
Yes, he's Billy Madison. It's great.
So we'll have to see, because this guy, again, like we were saying earlier, this guy is all plot and he doesn't have a character. It's sort of like, these things happen to you, but what does that mean for the future of you?
Like, even when he's so they get into the house, and this is where, like, we see this recap again. And I'm like, okay, why did we need that cold open from the first episode? Like, we didn't need it.
Here.
We didn't need it. Pretty much. You know, like, we could have seen the monsters come, right? The thing falls, monsters come, you know, try to scoop up Broads. You know, you got the best ninja of all time coming in, saving the day, you know, disappears, you know, Broads is just like, Aiden! And then done, like, 10 years later.
Yeah, literally everything from that massive recap that was important, they flashed back to either later on in the first or second episode. So, and the rest of it, they could have, you know, maybe saved for later. So when you completely show that flashback, and then you flash back to the flashback, and then you use the flashback for your opening of the second episode, like, it just is so redundant, and you could have used that time to flesh out some of these characters more. Like,
specifically Broady.
I understand this is a somewhat complex opening for Broady, like the way his character got to where he is now for Power Rangers, but you still don't have to hold our hand that much and tell us every little minute detail like that. And even then, some of the, I still, like, what is Ninja Steel? Like, explain this to me. I still don't understand that.
It's crack.
Nexus Prism. Where did it come from? Why is it just flying around randomly? MacGuffin.
It apparently has a mind of its own. It just fell to Earth, and then it just goes to wherever the plot needs it to go.
It goes to the greatest ninja of all time, whoop-de-whoop.
Like, oh, confirmation that this white dude is the greatest ninja of all time, by this episode.
That was hilarious.
He's saying that my dad is the greatest ninja master of all time. Who says that? Who talks like that?
And also we get
For people who are waiting, how far into the episode where we get angry?
Unless you're operating heavy machinery, disclaimer.
Is that the goal?
Or at work.
To, like, every episode give Broady, like, one of the dumbest, most non-human lines ever?
And unfortunately, most of those lines go to him. Like,
because, again, he's all plot. He's explaining the plot of the show instead of acting like a person.
Yeah.
He's exposition man.
It's not good.
He is.
Because even Redbot has a little, like, oh, suffering circuits. I'm C-3PO. Like,
oh, God.
He is. You know he is. Don't lie to yourself. And, hey, you know, that's fine. Power Rangers should take inspiration from current movie things that are actually successful.
Well,
and
take it from the robot from Rogue One, because he's better.
Oh, hey, you know what? Well, that looks like what Alpha's trying to be in the movie. Like, a little snarky. A little snarky snark. I love that. Yeah. And, okay, so then we get the greatest logic jump of all time, where they open the little thing.
Oh,
and it's like,
gosh.
There's a photo! I'm sorry, I'm doing my...
It's a small photo.
That, finding the box is still a bit of a logic jump. Like, the whole...
What do you mean?
I'm gonna go in here and dig in the place where me and my brother once dug to find a box. Like, that's a bit of a jump.
This whole thing is...
I mean, come on, they live there. And, like, come on.
Once they get the picture in the box, he's like, this must be a clue left by my brother. Like, so a photo of you is a clue?
Like, yeah, that's the where it's sorry, a jump. That's, I would agree.
In general, like, you are placing a lot of faith in this brother that ain't there. Like, straight up. You are really, I mean, and yes, it works out, but it's still just like, come on, dude.
So for the folks that are, like, you know, who haven't seen the episode yet, because, you know, there are people who haven't, they're in Riley's house, and they're digging, and you have Broady digging, To find the box. Like, oh yeah, back in the day, well, me and my brother, we would like train as ninjas, and we would train to look for this box and blindfolded and with our arms tied behind our back with one leg. I mean, whatever. And then so he's digging, and then he's just like, I'm done being a slave.
About you
hands
slaves.
It over to Redbox. You continue.
You're my slave continue now. Oh, the shoe's on the other dig, foot, bitch. Redbox.
I hope, like, 15 episodes of this season, someone's like, hey, Redbot, get me something. And he's like, Redbot is my slave name.
Jesus.
Oh, don't whip Redbot.
Oh. Well, okay, but see, that actually brings me to another thing of, like, okay, Redbot, who is he exactly? Why is he
point?
Just Rhodey's friend? Yeah, like, they were both on that ship together. He's a robot. Why is he just like friends with Brody and nothing else? Like, do they just let him do this? Like the bad guys, I mean, like.
Oh yeah, well they let him do everything. They let him wear their little communicators, and they let him just take the Ninja Nexus Star and put a little tarp over it and walk away. They let him do everything.
But he's specifically like Redbot because he's a machine. Like he's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Like is he programmed to be friends with a slave? Basically, we should probably not call him a slave, but.
Well,
that's what he is.
It's all you, dude.
Why would they let this robot be friends with a prisoner? Why do we let him be friends with a prisoner like that? Now, if it's like, oh, we don't care about this robot. Like, maybe if Redbot was, like, kind of damaged, like, oh, we don't care about this robot. He's here to just, like, lift boxes or whatever.
You know what I think? And, again, this is me, like, totally looking too much into it, but it might just be. He was a kid when he was kidnapped, right? Kids can't do much when they're prisoners, right? Like, whatever. They're not going to be lifting heavy machinery or whatever, blah, blah. But Mick has been there, there too, right? Mick can build things and tinker with things. Probs Mick built Redbot for the little boy so that the little boy ain't going to be all, like, you know, crying a fit and whatever because he on some rando ship, you know? And it's like, all right, let me build Redbot. And Redbot is gonna, you know, do the heavy lifting or whatever, and let's, you know, keep everything cool. And Mick's trying to like, yo, look, this is a little kid, he don't know nothing. Like, let's give Redbot the heavy duty whatever, and let's have him as a friend. Come on, man. And then, you know, those monsters are dumb, so they're like, sure, fine.
Just like,
and
yeah,
there you
just
go.
Just have a mini Zord.
Well,
like,
that's a cool explanation, Lisa. But we have to do some flashbacks, so. That's nice. I love
you.
So it's cool.
It's to me, it's,
yeah.
Going forward, I don't. Now again, you know, they could surprise me. But going forward, I'm like, what's his point? Is he gonna be there to like get into wacky hijinks with Mick so we can have two sets of comedy? Is that what it's gonna be, or is it gonna be Redbot actually does something? Because if he's just there to,
yeah, is Redbot really gonna be in? Is he gonna be in the base? Is he gonna be in the classroom? Like, is he gonna be in the shop? Like, where's he gonna
be? Probably. I mean, he's in the opening credits, so.
Whoa.
Because he's not credited in the opening
credits.
No,
but he's like, chill. They make a point to cut to him chilling with Kelson, so I assume he's sticking around and just going to be wacky psychic guy. Well, I mean, come on. Keeper is more useless than Redbot, and he's stuck around. So
I'm sure he'll be in the show, like on screen. I was just wondering, like, will he do anything of significance?
I'm going to guess not. But again, who knows at this point of the show? I mean, it is skipping ahead a little bit. Is that I thought that he was going to become the Zord, maybe, and then he didn't. And I can understand there are ways to say like, oh, it would be kind of weird if he did become the Zord or whatever. But it's also like, okay, so was he literally just created so that we could have a humanoid red robot as the Zord to be the quote unquote inspiration?
Yes.
So then he's already fulfilled his purpose already.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should be dead. He should just kick in episode 3 and be done.
Well, I mean, I think I.
What? So that Cody can die too? You're an evil person.
Well, Nitro can die too.
A dog. You know,
well, I don't know, because to me, I feel like they double dipped in a good way where, yes, he's an inspiration for the Zord. But on the other hand, we have an extra character around that can actually be there to, you know, because I mean, come on, Mick's going to be by himself. He's going to be sad. He needs someone to talk to, you know,
that's fair.
He's
that's
a
fair.
Teacher. Like, he has his students randomly.
Yeah, he's allowed around children with no proper vetting. Yeah.
Background checks. Yeah.
That's cool. Vetting. Just put on a green coat and you can hang around these children all you want.
Well, that is
after hours.
Where they see, yes.
Where they see the little photo and they're like, "Wait a minute. That what was it? The trophy. Which okay, so was it that the dad won the trophy and the kids are just posing with him with the trophy? Is that what it's supposed to be? And then why?
Yeah.
Why did they take a trophy that was won by an adult man and put it into a trophy case in a high school?
This is the thing. Did he win it in high school and for some reason he decided to take a picture with it of his children years later?
Or did he hide it in the high school? And in which case, why would anybody, like... Why would nobody notice that?
Uh-huh.
Here's what I saw, Kay. Again, I cannot believe I have to be the person to defend this. Okay. But this is what I thought. That, yes, it was adult Dane Romero, that's the father, with his kids. And like kids, right? You are, you know, you're kicking about, you're playing around, and then you see your dad's trophy, right? And your dad's trophy is just like... Oh, that's really cool. I hope to get a trophy like that one day. And you always try to touch it and grab it and whatever. And he was just like, all right, kids. Okay. Let's just all pretend that you won this trophy too. So we're just going to take a picture together.
And we'll take the picture.
The mom.
Mom.
She doesn't get to be in the picture.
Aw, Keeper took the picture.
Whatever, who cares about her?
No one cares because nobody looks for her anyway.
You're not throwing fits over her not being around.
No, you're not part of this family.
Nope. So that's how I looked at it. It was just like, okay, the kids are, you know, they're always training and everything, and dad's always training, and they're all training, and kids look at the trophy like, oh, when did you win that, dad? And I was like, when I was just a little older than you, when I was in this thing called high school. Like, really? I'm gonna go to high school one day. Well, you won't be. Ha! So, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I didn't find that much of a problem.
The implication that maybe Victor in the first episode did have all the trophies and then he didn't know that that trophy was there because his dad put it there like a day before because he knew that the Ninja Star was gonna
because he gave all of the Ninja Steel to Aiden. We saw that.
Right, jeez.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so Aiden had
his little trophy there, yeah. Cookie can.
Okay, that's, I guess that maybe is what they're going for, ? I don't know. It's a little weird. But hey, how about that high school? They drive into the auto shop. And I was like, oh, the outside of the auto shop? Like, that's a cool looking set.
But wait, hold on. If Aiden put that in the trophy and then put the trophy in the case, how, without the information of meeting Sarah... How would he have known to go to that specific school and go look for that trophy?
Well,
because that was probably where his dad went.
Maybe.
Because there's this sort of subtle undercurrent that I'm seeing right now that they're like chosen, right? That only certain people can pull out the stars. So maybe there's like he somehow knew that it would be Sarah would go to this school, which is horrible storytelling.
It's all McGuffin.
Who knew?
The star, the giant friggin' stupid prison star.
Wait, the star? Yes. But the person who put the trophy there in the first place has to know something. Otherwise, what's the point of, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that picture is supposed to be a clue, as they say in dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Then whoever put it there has to set it up.
Here's the thing.
Tells them to go to that school to look for that trophy. The only thing that tells them that is meeting Sarah.
Here's the thing. They're trying to tie together that the dad and the sons and the what, like, they all coming from this small town of Summer Cove, right? So like the dad went to the high school and he grew up here and everything and whatever and called a day, and then he had children with some mom that we never see, and they grew up to be growing up to train them to be some ninjas and things and all that sort of stuff. And then the boy and the stars and the prisms and the monsters or whatever, like, oh, the only place I know to hide, I can't hide it here now. Let me go and hide it in the school that my dad went to. Call it a day, bada bing, bada boom. That's how I read it. And so, you know, are there certain things missing that could be told in that story? Sure.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of happenstance.
That's ridiculous. Like, listen, television is built on coincidences. Like, it's not, you know, it's not shocking that there are some coincidence, some funny coincidence that it happened, but like that sequence of events from start to finish for all of these things to happen, I mean, that is so much further beyond what we need or what would be satisfying, right? Mm-hmm. For me, like, I'm not satisfied by that. Like, that's Oh, everything is, and this is ridiculous, but that's like extra ridiculous to me.
I think it's because that there's so much leap of faith conclusions that they want us to take. Like, there's, yeah, like, you can take one, but then it's like one after another, after another, after another, after another, and you're like, oh, and then, and there's a MacGuffin, and there's a this, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, you're not digging in the hole, and if the trophy is somewhere that is more obvious to him and you don't need to meet Sarah, then fine. Like, you, fine, the photo can lead you there. That's fine. But when you have to do all of these steps, it just feels like just too many dominoes have to line up perfectly that it's...
And she's like, where did I see this trophy
before? Oh, I made sure to specifically say the name out loud this morning when I met this character who specifically told me to look at these trophies.
Amazing! That's like Mia from Samurai. I feel like I know her.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, if so, literally, like, Victor Vincent is part of the dominoes that if he doesn't braggadociously run into her and start talking about himself, this doesn't happen.
Not since Xanatos from Gargoyles has there been a plan this intricate and well thought out.
Come on. But that
was awesome. Xanatos was awesome, though. Hey,
yeah, he was. But I believed in him because Gargoyles was a well-written show.
Yes,
this here, yeah, I think it is just as simple as if it was just one thing, it's fine. But when it's, you're asking all this, like, again, it's the, oh, he's holding the trophy, and I saw the trophy, so that must be the Ninja Steel. It's like, maybe no, it was just a trophy. Why do we need a mystery here?
Yeah, it's a lot of dominoes. It is.
But we actually skipped over the whole sequence of them going to home. What is it? The garage, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, well, like I said, the outside of that area looks great, and he's like, "I'll turn into a tire." It's like, and he's like, "They won't. They'll think I'm an alien." It's like, dude, you're fine.
Like, okay, I'm sorry, but that is the nicest shop class I have seen in my life by
it's
far.
It's flawless. So,
like,
clean and
first
perfect.
Of all, the outside has 1 bajillion spare parts for everything.
I know.
It perfect lined up in little order.
Like, even real that auto shops, like ones you'll find like in a city or whatever, don't look that nice.
They don't have that much stuff.
Yeah, like, they
just
gotta order
just
those parts
out. Or you can, like, just walk right in.
All of that stuff, you can just drive in, like, whatever. And then you come into the shop, and, you know, they got them all up on the jacks, and they got the paint room.
You mean RPM space?
They got the jacks, they got the paint room, they got all these amazing different things everywhere. The shop class, just kids everywhere doing all these things, and there is no teacher.
There must be.
And that is, like, the biggest shop class I've ever seen in my life.
Like the richest part of the city? Like, dude, is there a lot of tax dollars going in there? Like, what's happening with this room? I don't understand.
Laissez-faire school where nobody goes to class and you have the fanciest classes in the world. Like, oh my gosh, this is the most unbelievable school ever.
Mick is getting fired by episode 4 because he's not watching when, like, a car drops on a kid.
Yeah.
Good times. Wow.
So, and then, yeah, because, and so you have, what's his name? Mick is with Haley and Calvin and trying to blend in, quote unquote. And the, And the principal is just like, oh, you must be the guy that turned down the job, but now is here. Like, first of all, if I turn down a job and then I just rando show up, like,
you crazy?
No, get out of here. That doesn't happen.
Is the guy who turned down the job? Is he gonna just start getting checks?
Right, like, exactly.
And is he gonna be like, she's gonna be like, oh, okay, free money, all right, cool, whatever. Like, well, and she's
free
like,
money. Oh,
you wouldn't want to be in this grease, but like, grease? What? Where's the grease? I see no grease. This is the most immaculate garage ever.
Yes,
like even the RPM garage looked more lived in.
Yeah, like this is it did. Got the fancy little it car did. Details on the wall, and everything is just crystal clear, perfect. And someone might have like there was more dirt when they were digging. They were digging. That was dirt. They had dirt on their hands.
Yeah, yeah, they had dirt on their hands.
Like this that is was... just fancy.
Yeah, and then like the paint room. There ain't no paint in the paint room.
And it has fake windows.
Like, it looks...
really fake windows.
I mean, I do think it looks pretty. Like the problem is that it's too pretty. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually appreciate the design that goes into it. It's just, you know, it doesn't resemble an actual thing at all.
It's like they so pretty.
Those two took the time to completely clean that room before they brought the...
yeah. Well, yeah. You know, cleanliness.
I mean, they're used to cleaning up their messes after being
now, let's be real science. About Victor and Morty for a minute, where it's all these, like, he's like, it looks almost as good as me. Monty. Oh, yeah, sorry, Morty. Morty! Wow. So, Victor and Monty, yeah, Victor's like, yeah, it looks almost as good as me. And then Monty, like, is really quick to be like, yeah, almost as good as you. I'm like, whoa there. Hey. Whoa there, Monty.
Hey, Monty. Easy.
Easy there, buddy. Guys are always cleaning up messes in there, huh?
Uh-huh.
Getting stuff loosed on your face, huh?
Yep. All the splashback.
Also, like, Victor's... Like, I get that he's supposed to be the comedy character, but when he did the delivery of the line where he was like, even my perfect teeth, and, like, little, like, sparkle, I'm like, okay, I get what they're going for, but that almost seems, like, too comedic. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like... He sounds like he's about to say a joke, that he's not like he's actually delivering a line.
I didn't mind him in this episode. Like, the last episode, it was team too much. But this one, it was just enough, like, kooky. Like, you knew when you saw they rolling out the car and the mess up, the paint machine being messed up and the pipe. You already knew what was going to happen. Yes. You knew it. But, like, it was just the right amount of ding and just enough lines where you're like, okay, this is enough.
Like,
this is fine.
Yeah, they come in, and whatever. They serve their purpose, you get the joke, they're out. Perfect.
They interact with the Rangers.
Sploosh.
They actually have a bearing on the plot. Shocking.
Because if they didn't mess up the paint machine, they would have no base.
It's all part of the plan!
Because clearly that room needs to be out of order because it was too clean, and they have to fix it.
So what, is their base just going to be like a room? Just like a room in the back, just chilling? Or is that just where they're going to put their giant star? Like, what's up with that? Are they going to, like, what was your joke, Jared? They're going to behold the view? The
yes. Dixon? Yes. Because that actually happens. It friggin' happens in the episode. Like, oh my gosh. Okay, so what? The paint explodes on them, and Kelson gets a joke in, and...
Kelson is able to deliver the comedy in a way that he doesn't sound like he's reading a script. He sounds organically delivering the dialogue.
I mean, he's the experienced actor.
He's definitely in the cast. Like, he can make this stuff... Well, believable is a strange word, but close enough.
And I give most of the actors I'm going to give most of, like, the acting, for the most part, a pass in the first couple episodes, because a lot of these people are new. This is their first big jobs. So I'll give them a little leeway for the first one. They're learning. Same thing has happened in other seasons, where some people start off a little rough and they get better.
Yeah. I think I like Haley the most right now, out of the Rangers. Same. But, yeah.
Haley's good. But then you get to the parts where they're in the battle and she's very, Everything is pointed. Like, yes, hi, this is a ninja star, and we are going to. I think we should do this.
Yes. I think they all do that when they're morphed. Like, it's the bold episodes, it was really bad with the morph dialogue. It's just so much of them having to name everything, and just
like, this is Cody. Okay, Kodiak. Right. Great. Awesome. Oh, hey, buddy. Like, this is, like, I mean, but Charizard, she was very, like, she would articulate everything that she would say. I mean, it was the INGs you heard. I'm just like, all right, you're speaking the king's speech.
Was it Haley or Sarah that went, let's see if our morphers have battle modes. They do. You're right.
I don't know, because they sound alike.
Back and forth, the two girls, I was like, wow, that was bad. That was real bad. Just like, let's try our swords, let's name our swords, let's do all of these things. Now we got to name our Zords and all these things, and what are these stars, and just, oh my gosh.
Before we get too much into the fight, I do want to say, I did, as much as it was kind of dumb for them to fight Ripper Rat, or whatever his name is, with the bat and the tennis racket, I did like Ripper Rat's line of like, all right, first it was the bat, then it'll be your bones. I'm like, see, what? That line actually makes me be like, oh, you sound like a credible threat for a second.
It sounded so un-Power Rangers, I was taken aback. Like, what? You're threatening to crush their bones?
Are you allowed to do that on Power Rangers?
Yeah.
I mean, like, every once in a while, they do throw out a threat that sounds like a threat. I feel like in the last few years, they have made, you know, what consciously or unconsciously, they have had either heroes or villains make some kind of thing of like, oh, you won't be laughing much longer, or something like that. It's just so rare that it's like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You said a thing! What?
Well, yeah, because this is a show that like always has to avoid obvious dialogue if it's even slightly not PG. Because like when all the stuff falls from the sky, Haley says, what in the world? Like, nobody talks like that. You're going to say, what the hell? That's what you're going to say in that moment. But they have to replace it with, what in the world? So then when we get to this, and he's like, I'm going to crush your bones. Like, what? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they don't have to replace it with, what in the world? Like, yeah, I would have just taken, heck? What? What? Yeah, yeah. Or anything. What is that? Yeah,
no one says, what in the world? They don't.
No.
Like, Jiminy Christmas!
Are you
like,
no, like, nobody.
Fiddlesticks! Who does that? Come on, this is cheering good enough.
Zordon's ghost!
He doesn't exist.
Holy motherboard. What was it? It was Mick, right? Like, so, like, when they, it was...
Calvin and Haley straight Calvin up dodge an attack and let it hit Mick. They're like, peace out.
They ain't dumb. we're not aliens. Yeah. You are. You can handle that. Because here's the thing, though, right? So the monster, after he deals with Calvin and Haley, like, whatever, like, I always want to say Calvin and Hobbes, but that's not her name. So, like, legit, I want to say, like, Calvin and Hobbes.
Rick and
Morty,
Calvin and Haley. Hobbes.
So,
yes.
You know? So, like, the monster goes after Mick, and I'm just like, wait a minute, hold up. Don't you have the ability to change into things?
He's not in danger.
Isn't this the real... This is a really good chance, like a really good part of this portion of the story, where you change into something that either, or I don't know, can fight back, like, I don't know, a gun, a laser, a something.
That's the problem. Anything. That ability to change. Yeah, you have to like either define the ability's limits. Like, make the character so inept that they don't know what to do, or get the character out of danger scenes in general. Like, you have to do one of those three things, or else you have a godlike character.
Yeah, I wanted him, like, because he got blasted, right? You could have just said, oh, he's too weak to change. And, like, maybe he does a thing where it's like, he changes for half a second and then is, like, forced back, you know, somehow.
Yeah, he tries to change. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which I would totally
turn into something a couple hours ago,
and it would
like,
be easy
a day before I can change again, something like that. You know, like tell me, give me a limit.
It really should. We don't even need a limit, because then we would get too up on it. Just be like, I'm tired and I can't do it. Done.
Yeah.
Yes, because then there would be an episode where they'd be like, oh, Mick, we need you to turn into this, 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 and this. And then he'd do it with no problem. And we'd be like, what? Like, yeah. I thought you said you couldn't do that.
Turn into a copy of our Megazord, so we have two.
No, it's just call up Shelby. Call up Shelby, the Hidden Figures of Power Rangers, to give us a new
turn story. Into. Oh, I know, right?
Thanks, Andre.
The Hidden Figures of Power Rangers.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. The way they're talking, Shelby may not even exist in this reality.
That's true.
They have no idea what Power Rangers are, apparently.
But I know. But like, but here's the thing. It's just like, yo, like, Mick. Yo, like, you can't change yourself into, like, another Prism Nexus Megastar, like, whatever. Can't do that. Nah, because that'll ruin the plot. You can't turn yourself into, like, another monster that can fight the monster. Nah, because that'll make sense. Can't turn yourself into, like, a gun or a laser or like, a cannon or something that can,
they
like, fight that.
Very nope. quickly Again, define make... what Mick can and cannot do. It does not need to be a big scene, but at the start of episode 3 or 4 or whatever, someone needs to be like, hey, Mick, can't you turn into this? He's like, dude, I can only turn into really simple things or whatever. Something. I don't need a big scene. Just something that shows a limit on that power.
Exactly.
I'll be waiting, because this didn't make no sense. For you to like wait for MacGuffin Star coming in, like, and save the day. It wasn't even like one of the other Rangers saving the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, cause that happens all the time. But no, it was
right
MacGuffin Star.
The monster. Like, I'm like, okay. So will it just do that constantly?
Yeah.
No, of course not. But like, what's stopping it from doing that? Like in the future, we don't know.
Yeah. And it's like, and they're glowing. Go ahead, take it, go, reach in, go, do it. Looking at each other like, I said,
what are you waiting on?
You know, and then the rest of them just like, they show up and they're like, hey, you guys, we're your Power Rangers. So like, hey, just follow our lead. Let's do this thing. I don't know, man. Like that whole portion was kind of...
First morphs are always awkward, but like,
well, it doesn't, again, sound like a broken record, doesn't help that it has crap music.
Yeah.
And also, their morph call is dumb. Ninja spin.
What is it?
He said it's morphin' time and then ninja spin.
Ninja spin.
Spins,
yeah, because they hold it and then they twirl.
Well, the stars that they put on.
Yeah, they hold the big red star with their little star inside of it, and they just twirl.
It's a far cry from Unleash the Power, which actually sounded cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think people's complaint was that it was like 5 different phrases in Dino Charge, and now it's just like the simplest possible thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not
Wait,
terribly
what was it in Dino Charge?
By Ninja Spin. It's whatever.
It ain't great.
Dino Chargers, like, it's morphin' time, Dino Chargers, Unleash the Power.
You know, it was Dino Charger, Energize.
Energize.
It was, it's morphin' time, Dino Charger.
Ready.
Ready. Ha! Any ha's? Do we have any ha's? No ha's?
Yes. No. During the stock sequence where they spin the barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unleash the Power.
Yes.
Powering Unleashed.
Let's
extinct
something. That's a mega win. I don't know.
Yeah, and that time, at least then though, they just had the Rangers glow, and now they have like these giant, thick black ninja suits on that look far more protective than their actual Ranger suits.
I kind of want to see them just like using those.
Yeah.
For a minute. Hey, remember when the Samurai Rangers had like ninja masks for no reason?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Now we got, every time we go into our helmet, we got crazy little, we got Mortal Kombat masks on.
I hate those.
Sucks.
I hate those. Yes. I do.
Okay, I do want to comment on the music, because I feel like, I stand by everything that I said last week about the human scenes. I really just kind of feel like, for the most part, it's just like a track that's playing that has very little of what I would like to hear. During the battles and the more sort of quote-unquote epic parts, I feel like it's a little bit better, actually, than
there was
like
one
the
part
last couple
after,
years.
After when the monster was growing, there was actually a cue where I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like a real music cue.
You're right. There was so a little bit.
I know, because they had said before the season started that they had actually hired someone to work with Noam. I don't know if they're credited or not. So maybe that has something to do with it. Who knows?
I guess I didn't really pay attention to it because there are parts of the fight.
Well, that were really the fight itself was annoying. A void for me. Like it was
the ADR was annoying to me. So
also, by the way, who's ready for another season where they don't actually spin the stars when they morph? It's just like the key going into the morpher. No, like because when they do the spin, they don't actually spin the stars. They just sort of awkwardly put their hands in front of it.
Yeah, that's probably gonna happen.
It's a bad morpher. Not well, as bad as the movie morpher, but
it's just. I mean, we talked, and we know why they went with the morpher, but still, it's just one of those things where it doesn't get used very much. Like it's another thing, like the frog gun and the morpher, which is just a weapon in Ninja, that it doesn't get used very much after the first handful of episodes. They really just stick to their swords. So it's going to be even more awkward when they keep morphing with it and then it just straight up disappears forever and ever. Because then it's like, oh, now I got swords and we got powered up stars and we're focusing on the stars and we're focusing on our new fancy swords that we never really go back to those side weapons very often. So, and that's all it is a side weapon.
I just think they just don't look cool. They don't look cool.
And then when they get bigger, like it was already enough when it was like normal size, when they get bigger, and I'm like,
they go from wow.
this looks more like a toy like than before.
Oh no, it's basically what they did. Like, and it actually does have some cool features, like the fact that it can be a claw and a bow, and it has elemental attacks, but it doesn't really. They don't really do anything with them. And again, the show starts focusing more on the different stars, and the stars have different powers that they ignore those things entirely. So I don't know, whatever. They're it's not great. I get the point, but it's not great. No.
Yeah, and then the fight was, I mean, okay, well, they're fighting, but then. And they beat the monster, and they're like, yeah, we're great, we're awesome, that was easy, woo! But then there's another part of the TV show, going back to Galaxy Warriors, where they bring out this machine, and it's just like, who wants to see the monster?
I love it. I love it so hard.
Come on!
That guy is my favorite.
And you know that scene's gonna get shorter. And shorter.
I like him a lot, actually.
I love him. I love his. No, I like around. Him too. I love the fact that it's part of the show. I love the dumb, gigantified graphic that looks like it's out of the 80s. It's fantastic.
Gigantify. Come on, like, it's
so much better than most monster growing ways. Straight up.
And then they press. I mean, I guess we'll find out what's the difference between the blue, the yellow, and the red. But like, they press the blue button, and he gigantify, and they turn around like, whoa, this escalated quickly. Ooh, and Mick's like, wait a minute, hold up, we got ninja steel up in this piece. He's just gonna throw some steel into the prism. Prism
just shows up for like the fourth time in the episode, and Mick just casually opens up the friggin' trophy, and I didn't notice before, but here's five shurikens already designed in the same style of your five, and this little the viewing prism is telling me, There's the Zord.
Oh, those are your swords.
There's a legend.
Yeah.
He mentioned there's a legend. So they just, apparently Zords, according to Kelson, there's Zords supposed to be here. And looking in the viewing prism, they're all right there. So here's your stars. And he throws the stars in the prism and they shoot out and the Rangers catch them. And now we got Zords. And this is when everybody went crazy because they all wanted Redbot to be the Zord. And I understand the concept behind that. It makes the most sense. To me, my whole thing is you either go all or none, which means you either tell me that the dog actually becomes a Zord and that the truck actually grows into a Zord, and then you can have Redbot be the Zord, or you do none of that and they're all inspirations. Because the other ones are fine, but it is kind of hard to find an inspiration for a giant humanoid robot that you just casually have with you all the time. Unless the dude is walking around with a Rock'em Sock'em robot that he had when he was a kid, which I guess is possible.
Which
that's like his little hang around.
You know what they could have done? You know what they could have done? That could have been a toy that he had with him that he kept on the ship for all those years.
True, true. But I still like the fact that they actually then have an extra character in the show. I think that Redbot is probably going to be useful. So instead of having to have him grow big every time, like, he can actually do something. Like, maybe he'll actually have something to do while they're having a Zord battle. It's possible. Like, I'm going to, you know, at least give him that, maybe. Hopefully. Maybe. I want to give you a little credit, a little bit.
I think my issue, really, is not that Redbot himself doesn't personally grow and become a Zord, although that might be interesting. It's more that they don't actually express that there is a connection at all between Redbot and the giant machine that he's now controlling, other than just they look similar. What a funny coincidence. Speaking of coincidences,
that string of dialogue between all five naming their Zords was so bad.
Like, as much as we say show don't tell, someone should have said your Zords are inspired by the things you like, or whatever, something like that.
They,
you know,
they
like,
take the form of like things that are special in your life, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't need an explanation right now.
Maybe it'll be next episode.
God, yeah. Like honestly,
they have an exposition scene.
Like it could be down the line, and they find out that like they were chosen this whole time because they know that the blah blah and the what. But I don't need an explanation. I just need y'all to get on these Zords, kick some butt, call it a day, get back to the characters in the story and whatever.
I need to not call your Zord a Zoom Zord. That's what I need.
Zoom.
How about we not do that?
Zoom.
Whoa, that was bad. Like I will give you. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I will give you the dumb Cody Kodiak thing. I will actually do that because it took a tiny bit of creativity to do that. And okay, Nitro is a very generic term when you've got a freaking dump truck and you don't want to say you have a dump truck. So I will give you that. And Robo Zord, fine. Dragon Zord's obvious. But Zoom Zord? Like, no. No. I don't know what you're calling. Call it your Freight Zord. I don't care.
Well, that wouldn't sound cool.
Whatever.
Either.
Or just even Train Zord is fine. But Zoom Zord? Better than
Train
Zoom.
Zord?
Better than Zoom. Better than. No. Just no. I don't know.
I don't like Zoom Zord, but like. I also am not like. Horrified by it either.
It was bad.
No, the dialogue is bad. I just don't. I mean,
will say this fight.
Fine,
it's one of those great early. It was a good early Sentai fight where it's like, oh, individual Zord action. I like that. You know, I like the red bot Zord, whatever, is flipping around. That's great. I'm still weirded out by that dog catching the shuriken thrown. I'm like, what?
And I guess that's some Ninja Fate footage you could have skipped. But
I feel like that's kind of unfortunate because it's the two females, and that's basically what they do in the episode, is like, for the most part, is like, well, Pink at least gets to throw some stuff, but then White catches it and then they ride off together, so they basically do nothing except the silly thing for their first Zord fight. I think that's really unfortunate personally. Mm-hmm.
And they all were kind of struggling a little bit, so I'm like, oh, is it supposed to be that they had a hard time with their first Zord fight? But they all seemed pretty happy about winning, so I guess not.
Yeah, and they won.
Like, I need to rewatch that Ninja episode because it feels like they skipped and like I think they actually form the Megazord, right?
Do they
don't kill it with handgun things.
Yeah, like there's random
that
lasers.
The implications?
Like it felt like just so it felt like they just added lasers on top of us or something because it looked very odd and just oh he's gone okay cool like what no what huh like I feel like I need to rewatch that episode because I feel like they actually formed the Megazord and defeated him and they just wanted to end it early, or they didn't want, because they didn't have time, or they didn't want to also introduce the Megazord in this episode.
Because well, they might not have had time. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was abrupt.
I just don't like the idea that the ground fight blasters that they can use when they're not even using Zords. That's the thing that takes down this giant monster.
Yeah, like, frog gun power.
Yeah, what is that?
Or was it just supposed to be like they aim their guns, but their Zords are shooting things? And if so, that's also weird. Because that looked like an original shot with them holding all the frog guns.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
And the first monster is usually the weakest. So,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't take much.
It should be more impressive anyway, because this is the first time we're seeing them do these kinds of things. It's the same thing as last week. Like, where they just shoot him once and then boom, it's over. Sorry, like, no points for that. Some of the footage was cool. That's not how you finish a monster. Like, for one of your first battles, your first one as a team. Nah, no thanks. No, that doesn't work.
There needs to be a big, like, yeah, we did it. And a big, mm-hmm. like, all right, guys, charge up your blasters. All right. And boom, done.
You know, the reason why I'm okay is because they'll be naming all of those other things, too, if they had more things to fight with. And I could deal with that for now. Like, let's just spread that out.
Oh, well, next week, you know, we're going to get Megazord. Things. So it's going to be like, all right, online, form, ready for battle.
The Nexus Prism Maximus Prism.
Ninjas Unleashed.
Just have one more name that has X's in them. Just do it. Just do it.
Ninja
do
Nexus it. Megazord.
Make it more confusing. Right.
So we go back to the school.
But yeah.
Yep.
Out of order signs.
Yes.
How do
they do
work?
Go back to the school. Yes.
So they walk out of the paint room, and she's like, we gotta fix the paint room. It's already immaculate, but we gotta fix the paint room because of that incident. Here's an out-of-order sign I'm gonna put on the inside of the door.
Well, yep. The door is open, so...
Yeah, yup. It is. So you put it on the other side. We don't just need it in the shot for the rest of the scene, so it has to be like that. That's awkward.
Is she put it in the window?
No.
And if the sign was double-sided, then that was...
Oh, yeah.
No, I said if she had put it in, then there you go. But hey, small details. It's just a euphemism for like...
The windows.
There's no order in this space.
You can't see through the windows.
We're all out of order.
And I think that's probably, like, by design. Like... Yeah, it's their secret base inside the school.
Yeah, their secret base that where they need to build like secret like entryways.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Right.
You know, but there's class going on the other side.
They have to like open a locker, steps in, and like the flop locker flips around. They end up in the base. It's like a little playset.
Yes.
Or like they get in the locker and it's like a chute. They like go like phew and they like end up in the base through like a slide.
And then are they gonna like soundproof the base? Because like the class is right next door.
Also,
it's right
kid is
there.
Gonna be like, hey, you know, teacher Mick is spending a lot of time with those kids behind closed doors.
Oh boy.
What's going on? Extra credit sessions.
He spilled paint on them. Take off your clothes, kids.
And I have no doubt that like this is gonna be like their base the whole season, whatever, who cares. It would be nice if like by episode, I don't know, 9 or 10, somebody starts to figure them out and they have to like switch rooms in the school where they are. That's not gonna happen, but I would like that.
Oh my gosh, at least be like underground, you know what I mean? Like, at least be not next door, where there's literally a door that's keeping you from the base.
Before that, I just went through the footage of the Zord battle from Ninja, and it literally is the five Zords stand there, pose, and then the Red Ranger figures out that they can spin the stars and form a Megazord. So all they did was take that shot where they posed and then superimpose the Rangers on top of them, shooting their frog guns and then lasers coming out of them, and called it a day.
Yeah.
So, yep.
It's not so much that they changed something that bothers me. It's just what they changed it to was so completely
weak,
impact free. Yeah, like the
yeah. Yeah, just random posing scene became lasers shoot.
Yeah, I don't.
Yep. Good ending, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more.
But wait, no, wait, there's more.
Way, it took them way too long to realize there's more. Was another star in there. Like, Brody's been looking at that thing for 10 years. He needed Sarah to count to six for him. Like, what's the deal?
Like, yes. I understand you haven't been he needs to Sarah school, for but a I lot figure of
you
things.
Got to six.
And Brody,
nah, Brody's man, could count that far.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I wouldn't have noticed that we didn't have a sixth Ranger until you said that.
Wait a minute. It's like he counts them all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wait a second.
2, 3, 4.
No, wait. We got
1, 2, 3.
Six. No, that's Nick. He doesn't have a star. Oh. Okay.
No, wait. I counted Redbot. He's like a Ranger. No, he's just a robot.
We got 7 Rangers. Where are we going to get 7? You counted the principal. Oh.
She's not a Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was counting Magnum Defender. He's a Ranger, right?
And then
I was counting Aiden. To... Stop it.
I was counting my dad.
I have his trophy.
I was counting my mom. Oh.
So it doesn't count. That's.
Nope, never has, never will.
What's a mom?
Nope. All we have here is dads and dinosaurs. Sir.
Dads and dinosaurs, not even the dinosaurs. Then we cut to back to the galaxy drone, whatever.
Ratings are up.
He did like a crazy flip. It was awesome.
See, I want an episode that's just purely about him being like this put upon guy who's trying his best. Right. To put on a show and impress everybody, but Gomez is like, I'll screw off.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Cosmo be a great opportunity to do like a super meta commentary about the show itself? Where it's like, oh, look, our ratings are up. And he's like, no, we have to change the show. We can't make it be good.
Yes, exactly.
This isn't good enough. We need to copy a show from Japan instead.
We need a child to become warrior. A ranger. We need a child. Where can we find
go
children?
Go hire a woman to dub over it.
Yes, they're making a Galaxy Warriors movie, and no one cares about our show anymore.
Oh, no. People need to know the time. Let's superimpose a clock in the corner.
Dinosaurs! Dinosaurs! We need more dinosaurs!
But let's even go back in time idea, and get which I them. I think would be great is that he's still. I want the ratings of Galaxy Warriors to be a thing in this show.
Yes, we're doing great in this demographic.
No, and then no, wouldn't that be great though to introduce like new big bads or whatever? It's like, oh well, ratings are down. We need to bring in a new contender, and they bring in like the new general or whatever.
Yes. Ratings were awful, but then a new ranger showed up and he had a fancy shield and everybody cared.
Oh, man. See, this guy needs, who cares about Galvanax Gurface? Who cares? This guy.
I just love the idea that one of the villains literally only cares about ratings. And just like everybody else, like, we're actually doing villain stuff, but ratings, huh?
Could you maybe make the fight go a little slow? We need to sell more ads.
Yes. I like it when they call the Megazord. We need more of that.
I don't know. I don't think that's exactly his voice, but it's we haven't heard enough of it yet.
It is now.
Oh my god! It's like, hey, he goes up to like Galvanax. Can you show off your weapon? Could you maybe give it a name?
Yes. Say the name out very loud. They will buy toy versions of them.
Gus, we need to sell toys, darling. Toys!
He's like, now, you did a great job, but we need you to ADR your lines. The fly cams or whatever didn't get a good reading on your audio. Good to do it again.
Yes, like, I want him to actually have the toys. Be like, look, we have these amazing toys. Why do you only have ones for the male rangers? They're the only ones that sell.
There is an awesome chance to do some serious... I would love it. I would love it.
Yes.
Yes, but meanwhile, right, like, you have Galvanax mad. He is mad that these teenagers got all the stars and everything, and he needs to find where they got them stars, needs to defeat them, and all of the things. He goes off, pouts.
Odious, yeah, like, because we assume,
her name, Madame, you know, Odious? That's
about it, and, you know, your natural inclination is like, well, some other, whoever's going to be the Sixth Ranger has the star, because...
They'll show up in episode 8, it'll be fine.
Even right. Before that, because, like, they show up real quick in a ninja, like, it's going to be episode, like, 4 or 5 when he shows up in this season. But yeah, you assume, it is, yeah, we've seen the episode descriptions.
What did they say?
They mentioned the Gold Ranger pretty quick. I'd have to go check them out again to see exactly which one it is, but it's like 5, I think. But yeah, so like you assume that, you know, it's maybe it's Aiden, but somebody has the star. And then Madame Odious is like, oh, I got the star. Oh, I got the star right here. And I will admit, this is the first time in a long time that they have shown me a cliffhanger or like a surprise thing at the end of an episode. I'd be like, wow, that is actually surprising. Like the only other one I can think of like off the top of my head that really surprised me was the whole Necrolai thing in Mystic Force, where it's like, wow, I did not see that coming.
Right. Yeah, no, this was like... The credits, you're already seeing the tiny credits rolling. You're like, okay, I know how this happened. I know what's going on. We know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, and I remember we saw that clip in one of the teasers, right? We saw the clip of her holding the star. And so you're not paying any attention. Like, okay, whatever. This was probably early, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, I have it. I'm like, what? I was like, all right, y'all, okay, y'all, 2 points again, 2 points again.
Again, it's especially for the show where we get spoiled on everything. Yeah. It's nice to have a surprise.
Yeah.
Or it's just easy to figure out, you know.
Well, like, do you want me to talk about Ninja to explain what's probably happening?
Sure.
The general summary is that character, which. By the way, it took us forever to even figure out that character's gender in a ninja because it is a male character voiced by a very feminine voice. But the whole thing is that his allegiance is questionable, and you find out that it was actually another student who was trying to become a ninja. Like, it was an actual human character that was corrupted and became Kyuuman, is the name in Ninja. And by the end of the series, he does get redeemed, which is why then in a movie that comes after it, we end up getting a female Green Ranger that is played by the actress who voiced that character, and they imply that it is that character redeemed, because at the end of Ninja, we actually do see the shuriken, like the green shuriken, so, and then they pay it off later. But so yeah,
I just hope that Aiden or this whoever the Sixth Ranger is going to be isn't stuck inside this monster, because oh my god, if that's the reason they were able to pull out the star from the thing, no.
Well, and that's the other thing is Kyuuman spends the vast majority of Ninja like over and over again trying to corrupt the Gold Ranger.
Oh Jesus!
That's his thing, is that he keeps trying to say like, you need to avenge your father and your brother. Like, you could do it if you just give in to the dark power. And he's thinking about it. And he almost does it. And he kind of does it. And then he blah blah. And then he gets a fancy poncho.
That's what I would prefer for Power Rangers is that she didn't pull it out. Actually, the guy that will be the ranger pulled it out, but then she was right behind him and attacked. and that's why she has it. She may have him or not, but she now has the star, you know, after, like, the human took it.
How dare you pull out?
You never pull out. That's...
Life lessons from Power Rangers. Don't pick up gooey stuff on the road, and don't pull out.
What? We're just talking about the episode, Lisa. People. Where's your money?
Jim, yeah.
All right, seriously, what?
Yeah. Come on. I've already got it
for the episode summaries.
Okay. I'll go number three, then other people can go. Episode three, Live and Learn, based on Sonic the Hedgehog. It's Brody is accused of cheating on his first day of school after using his datacom to find answers. Now he must use his own abilities and leadership skills to lead the Rangers against another threat from Galvanax. So it's the typical third episode Red Ranger focus, trying to fit in and fill his role sort of deal. Very generic.
I mean, he doesn't know how to go to school.
Like, it's literally his first day of school.
Yeah, and so he's like, duh, I don't know anything. Toad's gonna cheat.
How amazing if he was actually in, like, fifth grade. Well, everybody else was in high school.
Oh my god. That'd be snapping.
Like, every day he'd have to walk over from the elementary. Are we in time for some Ranger action, guys?
Hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I got to multiply today. It was great.
Hilarious. So, episode four. Presto Changeo.
Really milking that name.
Preston is amazed when he discovers he's developed real magical abilities. Meanwhile, Galvanax hatches a plan with a new monster to steal the ninja power stars.
I assume he doesn't have real magical abilities. He's like, somebody tricks him or something, and he's like, oh man, great about
magical. Like either a monster's messing with him or Mick's like, I'm gonna help him live his dream.
Yes, I'm reminded of an episode of Kamen Rider Wizard where What's-His-Face thinks he has magic, but in fact it's just a monster.
Like... Oh, Mayonnaise Man?
Not Mayonnaise, no.
Oh, no, it's Weirdo Dude. Yeah, Weirdo Dude.
The friend that was completely useless.
The hanger-on dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aww. So then we have Ninja Steel Episode 5, Drive to Survive. When the Power Rangers are caught in the spiderweb prison of Galvanax's newest monster, Tangle Web. Okay. Galvan must conquer his fear to unlock a new power and save them.
Galvan.
Galvan is afraid of spiders?
Oh, man.
Must conquer his fear. You know.
That was Zach's
fear. That was Zach's
fear! Galvan used to be.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Could have been Zach.
Yikes. Hilarious. Tristan, why don't you take the next one?
Episode 6, My Friend Redbot. Haley is Haley is targeted by Galvanax's latest monster, period. Okay. Isolated from the other Rangers, she and Redbot must work together to save themselves.
Oh, I like pairing Haley with Redbot.
Can we just
Redbot.
Note that the latest monster is not named, period. It's just Tristan saying.
Sorry, like it's just because I thought it was kind of an awkward.
The period monster is attacking Haley.
Exactly. Yes.
The period monster is making the Sansu River flow.
Yes, and Haley must work together with Redbot to handle this crisis.
Oh, really, Red Dot. Let's just be
Oh, God, the Red Scare.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's Dracula's teabag.
I think this was an episode of Degrassi this season.
Oh, dear.
Boy. Oh, crap. All right.
But again, I do like the idea of Haley being paired with Redbot, so maybe she'll get to talk to him and be like, yo, Redbot, what's your deal?
See, he's already paying off. He's important. He's doing things.
He's in the freaking title. He better be.
More important than Creeper.
Go ahead, Jer.
Episode 7, Hack Attack. Determined to take part in as many student activities as she can, Sarah builds a device that allows her to clone herself, but the plan backfires when Galvanax's monster steals the technology for himself.
Oh my gosh.
Terrible.
Well, at least everybody's getting a focus episode right off the bat.
It's true.
On the surface, it doesn't sound great, but it could end up being like the greatest whatever. But
thing of all time.
Crazy studious girl. Yes, except for the fact that she hasn't gone to class yet. Nope. Very studious.
She won't be in class.
She's not Rhodey.
She's.
Oh, and finally, episode 8, Gold Rush.
Can't say Gold Rush. Come on now, guys. We've Zeo.
Yeah. Both the Power Rangers and Galvanex attempt to find more information about the new mysterious Gold Ranger.
Triforia, hey.
That's the biggest of them all. That's just info.
Probably for good reason.
Yeah.
It's Ryan's deal.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, that's it. They're actually waiting longer than Ninja did to introduce the Gold Ranger. I mean, I assume they'll talk about him in the previous episode if he's.
I mean, technically speaking, yeah. You could say they're already.
Yeah, I'm going to guess, like, in the end of episode 7, like, he shows up. And then they'll be like, probably. What are we going to do? Hey.
So, yeah.
Rangers, observe the Nexus Prism.
Oh, God.
There is a new ranger. That is the Gold Ranger.
So are they going to give him his own, like, throwing star and not use the burger? Is that the plan?
Oh, I don't know. We haven't seen any toys for the burger, have we?
They have not even attempted the burger. And I don't... He has his own guitar sword, but... You'd think they'd also give him another thing to be his morpher.
Don't give him the burger.
I think they'll just give him the star.
Call it a day.
Yeah, more than likely.
Maybe he'll get a fancy painted star, you know?
Oh, yeah, they'll give him a gold variant. Because they like the color. They like the color variants. Like
black and gold.
Oh, my gosh. Like, Dino Charge was just ridiculous. Right. Like, that dumb little red... what they call him? Is the T-Rex.
Rexy.
Like, there was a red Rexy and a black Rexy and a white
gray
Rexy.
One and a one and a blue one and a... It was a lot.
And then the main T-Rex, there was, like, 4 or 5 color variations, and they added a couple more for the Spinosaur. Like, it was... Oh, my gosh.
It's too bad that they didn't use the footage where there actually was a black Rexy. Oh, well.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, he'll probably get a gold star. That makes the most sense.
You get a gold star?
Because you feel like we would have seen... I know that, like, the Gold Ranger will be part of the second wave or whatever that's coming to the stores next, so maybe we haven't seen it. But you feel like we would have seen one of them at, like, the Toy Fair UK or whatever at some point. They were showing off that giant fortress sword or whatever, so...
Well, we just got our picture of Poissandra right on time, so...
Amazing.
Hey guys, who still likes Dino Charge? Oh.
It's right on time. It's just
yep.
It's great.
Wow.
Great. It's great.
We got a seller with another Red Ranger in case she didn't have like a million of those.
Yeah, very quickly. It's a bunch of 2-packs, guys, where it's like old figures. And you have to get her, you have to buy an extra Red Ranger figure. But that's the plan. Yeah, 2-packs. Probably a Toys R Us thing. I don't know.
So I think we should rate the episode. I'll say I want to rate the episode by itself, mm-hmm. and then tack the I mean these are
the two-part premiere.
Yeah,
it's tough for me because like this is a definitely a much better episode than one. Like, it's not even close. I don't know if I don't want to go too high. But, like, I feel like they covered a lot of ground. They made Kelvin's okay. Like, I don't have a strong opinion of him, but I really like Haley. I think, you know, they established a lot of stuff in the episode. The morph stuff was just so weak. Just so weak overall. Like, just morphed and Zord stuff. It just felt very weak. And then but the cliffhanger was so good. Like, I'm going to go 3.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to go a little higher because they did do some good stuff, and I was so pleasantly surprised based on last week's kind of, you know, laying a turd. But I think 3 is fair.
Yeah, me too. I'm
same.
3. Yeah, it gets a 3 for me. It there are certain things that were just still kind of cringeworthy, but it was enough for me to be like, you did not enrage me this time. So maybe because all the enraging stuff was like in the first episode and like, so you have to get that out of the way, but it gets a 3 for me. I just want to hear from Tristan.
Yeah. He's still thinking about the Zeo Crystal. He hasn't even...
He's waiting to figure out his best way to deliver his B+.
Yes.
B+. Ha, it wishes it got a B+.
Oh! See, I love it. For all you folks, Tristan is the sassy one.
What? When did that happen? Yes. No.
This episode. We can reinvent ourselves.
Right. Well, it's a new universe, right? So... Hey,
guys, I went to the dinosaur museum today. It was great. No, sorry, the dinosaur zoo today. It was amazing.
Oh, well, good. You're still alive, so that's, you know, that's a successful trip.
Uh-huh. You were not eaten. That's a plus.
Yeah. So this was an episode, and there were rangers and monsters and stuff. That was cool. Mick was cool. Cosmo Royale was cool. You know, I liked the ending, but I wasn't blown away because, like, you brought up like a comparison to like the Necrolai thing, where she's revealed to be like the mother of Lili, which I was actually blown away by. So I don't know if I would say that this blew me away like that. It was cool. It was cool, but like, yeah, I don't know if I would compare. Well, them.
It's the only other thing I could think of that was like actually like legitimately, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess because as soon as they said, "Where's the other one?" and then they cut. That's like a classic thing to do. Is like, mm-hmm. Where could it possibly be? Probably not in the next scene. Even though that's basically right. You know, yeah. So I was like, okay, so we're gonna see something about the Sixth Ranger, right? So it was still. I mean, it was good. I'm not trying to like downplay this. It was good, but you know. Anyway.
Yeah,
I don't...
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, like, with the star though, I was expecting them to cut to a scene like maybe they're outside the Romero house and you just see a white guy's hand with the star. Like that's what I was expecting to see.
Yeah. But yeah, for me, like where it falters is just in the dialogue, and I don't just mean the morph stuff, even though that was clearly like the weakest. It's just I don't know. I don't know. I didn't care for a lot of the human stuff, except when it came to characters like Mick. When it came to, I mean, in a way, even Monty and Vic. What's his face?
Victor Vincent.
Okay. Yes. I'm gonna get those mixed up a lot. But, yeah. Even that, like, that was cool. Like, there were moments, but it was just sort of like every time you got to a point where it was like, let's explain something, then I felt like it was like, we're no longer a TV show. We're just in explaining mode. And I felt like they over-explained a lot of stuff that was sort of like, if not common sense, then it was sort of like you would get it from context, like the relationship between the father and the sons and the fact that it was 10 years ago that they saw each other. They had to keep bringing that up over and over again. And then they under-explain other things that I feel like is more abstract and would be like more necessary to explain, like the Nexus Prism and like how the Zords just show up and they're in the form that they're in. You know, I would rather have an explanation of that than like, oh, you remember what happened 10 years ago? No, I forgot. From the other 37 times you just told me, like,
right.
So for me, like, overall, it was fun, but it's
you
a two.
Stalling, it's a two.
Wow,
the two,
which is a step up from
the one
last time.
Oh, I forgot you did a one last time.
Yeah.
So overall. I would grade the premiere a 2, but it's a solid 2. Like, it's a solid. Firm 2. Because
very, very firm.
Because it's because like the first episode was just not that great. Like, it was not great. And then the second episode, it had great moments, but there were still parts of it that were not great. And unfortunately, the not great parts had to do with Brody. And unfortunately, Brody is the weakest character. And unfortunately, they keep that's the main guy that their face that they're
he's driving everything
right so yeah he's, like but it's yeah. It's a stronger yeah. two, but it's just still a two overall for me.
Yeah, that's the thing is like I mentioned earlier is like if they had just chopped up the first 5 minutes, that was 100% flashback, completely removed that, started out with him on the ship, and then interspliced pieces of that flashback when necessary, like when it actually had something to do with what was going on.
Yeah.
Then you would have had extra time to explore these characters, give them better dialogue, being able to show stuff instead of just quickly telling us exactly what's supposed to be happening right now. And it would have made the entire premiere as a whole flow a lot better, and you wouldn't have just had to just give these info dumps. It would have been a lot smoother show. Like, and they gave us everything we needed, but the way they gave it to us was kind of herky-jerk. Start stop sort of thing. So overall, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'll stick with the two, but they are close to three territory with overall as a premiere. They just need to pace themselves better and get a better actor to play the Red Ranger.
Oh, give him a few episodes.
Okay, you know, we'll give you a chance. He's the thing.
I rewatched an episode of Dino Charge this past weekend, the one where they all lose their memory by drinking the water, and you just see Brennan go, "Who is Ner?" Or he's like, "I'm Tyler, and this is my wallet." I'm like, "Brennan, I miss you. Right? I miss you so much."
Like, he wasn't the best, but he always had really good moments. Like,
I think that guy should go out for more comedic roles. I think he could do a great job. Legit.
Mm-hmm.
I give the whole premiere a solid two. I still think even with this episode, it's still one of the weaker premieres. Maybe it's not quite at the bottom of the barrel we were saying last time, but it still is not super great. At least I think this episode at least gave me enough to make me go, okay, there's at least some interesting things that we can go with now. Unlike the first episode where I was like, oh, that's just unfortunate. So here, we'll see. We'll see. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I feel like the two-part, or thinking of it as an actual two-part premiere, I feel like I would have started with the escape from the ship, actually, with no real context quite yet, but he escapes, like, that literally opening sequence, escape time, right? And then you sort of backtrack as the story goes along, of like what happened, what got him to that point, and you sort of realize as he goes what happened, you know, and we're not sort of stuck with this kind of awkward thing. And also the escape itself can be a little cooler, like you can feel like he's been planning this for a long time and he's maybe failed in the past or whatever, and you know, that's, and we just skip all of the flashbacky stuff, you know, or the flashbacks that we have are to scenes that we haven't already seen. So we're not reiterating the same stuff again. It would put us in a better place and also give the dude more personality aside from just being the guy who says the stuff and does the things. That'd be nice.
You mean Brody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, you'd have something. As it is, yeah. I guess it's a two. Sure, if I'm rating them together, which is still an odd thing, just because I don't really see them as a two-parter. It's just sort of that's the next episode. Mm-hmm. But whatever, it's a two. So, like, see you next week. Can't say I'm blown away.
You still gotta do work, Ninja Steel.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put more work into your plots, Ninja Steel.
Oh boy.
They say Ninja Steel in their theme a lot.
Yeah. What? No, I didn't notice.
Ninja Steel. Something, something, something. A Ninja Steel.
Theme song's over. And theme song starts again.
Theme song's Ninja over. Theme starts again. Ninja Steel. And we're gonna keep going till we don't stop, Ninja Steel. Mm. We got red, blue, pink, and white, and oh, Ninja Steel.
Go, Power Rangers!
Do more with Galaxy Warriors. It's literally the most original thing this season has going for it. Please, thank you.
I really hope it doesn't just, like, what happened in this episode, which was good, you know, for this episode, but, like, if that's all it is, that's, like, the extent of their talking about Galaxy Warriors as a thing, that would be a bit of a missed opportunity. I want to see more about what that is and why that's a thing, and I don't know, it's fun.
Oh, also do things with Haley and Calvin's actual relationship. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. And Galvanex needs a title belt, straight up.
Yes,
he needs a championship belt.
Maybe a championship shuriken. I don't know, to stay on theme.
Like, I want to see him defend his title.
What is he going to be, the intergalactical champion something?
Yes.
So he can kill Lord Zedd next week. How about yes. that?
Oh my yes. gosh. Just bring on like more, like just bring Mondo, bring on like just other old, like, you know.
Yeah, all your favorites.
Yeah, yeah, all the faves, and call them completely different things. And yeah, because this is what the show does. Hit.
Dark Spectre is back.
Yes.
Like the 10th time. Great. Yes. Okay.
He's called Dark Malagor, and he's just chilling.
Yes.
Ninja Steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. What?
No, I was going to. Are we done with that?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay. I was going to say, did you see those effing movie legacy figures?
Yep.
Wait, what?
What's wrong with
that? The most annoying. Okay, you know the legacy figures that they have now. They have movie versions of them. They're only available at Toys R Us, but they made 6 of them. So, red, blue, yellow, and black give you arms and legs of the Megazord. Pink gives you the giant wings, and you to get the torso, you need to buy Mother Effin Legacy Movie Alpha.
Yes, he gets a legacy. Isn't he like, he's not even shorter than the Rangers, right? He's like super tall.
Like, it looks exactly like a slightly enlarged version of the regular figure with a couple more paint apps on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to buy Alpha.
They know what's up. They know how to, they know what they're doing.
Yep.
Wait, and you're buying all these to build what?
Build the Megazord. Remember they have the legacy Megazord figures?
Yeah. If you want a Megazord, you have to also
If you want the movie version of the Megazord. And it actually looks pretty cool, the combined like little version of it. Like,
yeah,
it
no skinny Yellow Ranger middle or anything.
No. It's nice proportion, looks pretty solid, but again, have to buy Alpha.
I see. Yeah, nope. I am so glad I'm not in this game. I'm not not doing it.
I'm on the fence.
You're in the game when Zeo figures come out.
What?
Zeo Dino Thunderwave. What?
Whew. Oh. Saving all my monies.
Assuming they don't have silver belts.